Welcome to our sixth time together in love in the Song of Songs. And thank you so much for your love for Jesus and your heart to just be with him and, you know, go beyond knowledge. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, I think it's 17, 18, that we would know, and that's the word know there is the experiential knowing of the love of Christ that passes understanding in a way that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, the height, the depth, the width, the breadth, the length. I don't know what the last sentence is there, but it has to do with us being filled up with another life and to know Christ in a way that surpasses understanding. We might experientially know the love of Christ. You know, that is what the Shulamite is going for. She is working not on building her Facebook page in her ministry, or better said, her image or her stature, or we can now get even more Christian, her spirituality, her appearance before men, all these things. She is seeking to know him and to experientially know him in a way that will fill her, him, that person, that earthen vessel, with all his fullness, the height, the length, the width, the depth, the breadth. I mean, that is, wouldn't that be an amazing pursuit when you get in the Word, to experientially know in a way that leaves you filled with his fullness? And it doesn't even say of Christ, it says of God. And it doesn't just say some, it says all. Paul is really pouring it out. And so, you know, that's the first verse that comes to my heart. I am dark, I am nothing to look at, I don't have a lot of fruit, but don't look at me. The sun hath looked upon me. You know, the Lord, he has seen me in a different way than what I'm manifesting right now. And her brothers and sisters, or the other vineyard keepers, they got angry at her. There was a verse where it says, my mother's sons were angry with me. This is the end of verse 6. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. So they're wanting to bring her back into a place of focusing on things down here. But she is wanting to keep her own vineyard. And, you know, what does that mean? Well, that's the place where, that's the garden of the Lord. You know, one way we can put it in the Song of Songs is, we are the garden of the Lord. We are the place where he walks through and breathes in and fellowships and has communion. We are his garden, and we want to keep our heart for him. I mean, we want to keep ourselves for the pleasure of the Lord. In Revelation 5, it says, all things were created for your pleasure. For your pleasure were all things created. You have to just think back before time and back into the heart of God. Everything before it was created for his pleasure. You might say that's just not a real purpose. A real purpose would be, you know, ministry or this and that. All things were created for his pleasure. And his pleasure just radiates as her vineyard becomes filled with him who is her life. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be captivated with, you know, the things down here. And when we are, we measure things down here by things down here. But when we set our affections on things above, we don't measure above by beneath. I mean, Jesus would say things like, if you had known me, you would know I'm from above. My kingdom's not down here. And they'd be dealing with issues that had to do with life down here. And then they'd try to take the above life and pull it down to and pull it down to the earth. And it's kind of like, how can we ever know the kingdom of God when we're just stuck in the realm of men? You know, it doesn't function that way. It functions when we're up there with Him, in Him, being filled up, being swallowed up, and that's when life down here makes sense. When you're not full of another life, it doesn't matter what the issue is down here. You're empty. You know what I mean? You're under the sun. You're in a place where He is not. And whatever angle you take on it, whatever approach you have, you're still approaching it separate from Him. You know, have you ever had a situation where you just can't seem to wrap your mind or heart around it because every time you try to figure it out or deal with it, you come up empty. You come up off. And you wonder why. And so you try to, you know, has anyone ever done that? They try to figure it out more and press in deeper or something like that. And you start getting critical. Maybe critical of yourself. Maybe critical of other people. Maybe confused. You know, things like that. And you're lost, you know. But where are you lost? You're lost from Him. And then all of a sudden you get up into Him. And everything makes sense again. You start getting filled up with something that is totally unrelated to the issue in the earth. And you're caught up in Him. And all of a sudden, something other than everything named Jesus starts just to fill your cup. And you have another spirit. You have another mind. You have another heart. You have another approach. You know, and the answer is more than just an answer. It's a person filling you, overflowing. And, you know, has anyone ever experienced that where you walk into a situation and you're just empty, blind, confused? Has anyone ever experienced that? And then all of a sudden you get filled up with the Lord and I'm trying to get this up here. Yeah, thank you, Lindsay. And you get filled up with the Lord and everything changes on the inside. And I think that's what the Shulamite is experiencing, is she is used to coming from a place beneath the Lord, separate from the Lord. I mean, she's had a long season. She's had a long season in Ecclesiastes where she's so used to living separate from the Lord. She's so used to living independently, you know, as if she's in charge and she has to make the decisions, she has to bring forth the right attitudes, she has to fulfill the need. You know, she's the one who has had to carry everything for the Lord. And when she started to come into this relationship with the Lord, she discovered that she is not alone, that He's there to be her life, to fill her. And we know that because we've been taught that, many of us. Or it's something that is so deep in our belief system, you know, that it's just assumed. But then sometimes the Holy Spirit will pull us aside and say, but He's longing to live in you, to be the fullness in this situation, to fill you with all His fullness, that you might know, not an answer, but the height, the depth, the length, the width, the breadth of God, of the eternal Spirit that was before time, of the one who you were created for, to be filled with, for their pleasure. She's so used to walking under the sun, separate from Him, doing it for Him, that this way has to be She has to continue to wake up to the awe, the wonder, the love, the intimacy of this way that he wants to have us, not just with him, but in union, in what is the word? I don't know. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And sometimes it's like my heart goes, I have to step back from the teaching of it that I think I know to experientially knowing till I'm filled with all his fullness. And you know, there is so much joy when you're filled with the life of Christ. There is no words, there is no human way to express what it's like to be filled up with the life of Jesus. No words. No words. To press in, to know the Lord until you're filled up with a brand new heart, with a brand new spirit, with living waters, with a brand new essence, with another life, with another mind. You know, there's a psalm that says, David speaking of his enemies, and he says something of his enemies that says, they don't have any changes. They don't have changes. But you know, when our heart really turns towards the Lord in love, we are changed from glory to glory by the Spirit into his image. We have changes. Changes so deep that fill us. They fill us. The veil is rent, and what is in the Lord fills the temple of our being. And we're full. We're full. We're full. We're full and overflowing. We pour, we pour, we pour, and we do it from the intimacy of his life in us. And there's communion. There's, you know, you've heard the word fellowshipping in his suffering. You go, how can you fellowship in suffering, in his suffering? But when you're with him, when he's in you, when you're together, there's, Paul cried out, oh, that I might know the fellowship of him in the fellowship of his sufferings. It was a longing cry. I mean, how is it that this man, Paul, had this longing cry to fellowship in his sufferings? Oh, that I might know you in the power of your resurrection, that you're in me. You've been raised up as my life. Fellowship in your nature, to be made conformable to your dying, to bear in my body, in my mortal flesh, the eternal spirit of the Lamb, and let him give his life through me. I mean, I think there's times when the Holy Spirit says, let's just not let any of it be commonplace. Let's not let any of it become dull and doctrine and lose the enticing invitation to come, enter in. Enter. You know, Joshua's name means Jesus. And Joshua is like Jesus saying, let's possess the land, all the land. He wants to possess all the land of our heart. We want to possess all the land of his being, every inward part we want to possess. He wants to possess every inward part in us. But it's not just this thing to take giants down and strongholds out. I mean, all that happens. But he wants to possess us. He wants to inhabit us, even our praises, everything filled full with him. And we want to possess him. You know, that's not a knowing by knowledge. That's a oneness of entering in. You know, I want to enter into the land. How just doctrinal can that sound? Old Testament, I just want to enter into the land. What the heck? I want to enter into the fullness of who you are. I want to come in through that wounded side and be that rib over your heart and be that flesh that covers the bone and have that new heart beating in me and have your blood coursing through my spirit, another life. I want to experientially know you. I cannot just be satisfied with a vineyard that doesn't have any real fruit in it. I want a vineyard that's so full of all that you are in me that the fruit just testifies and manifests the nature of the Lamb. You know, you go, I don't want to be works oriented. My goodness, filled up as his home. You can't imagine the fruit that's going to come out of her in chapter 8. She's going to have thousands for him, thousands. It ends with it. And she's going to be pouring 200 on the laborers, thousands on the beloved. She's going to have so much fruit that there's going to be, for God and others, just endless amount of life. Rivers, vineyards, orchards. Amen. Where does all that come from? Where does that flow, that huge vineyard with all these fruitful trees, where does all that come from? It comes from this heart that says, I want to be filled with all your fullness in a way that's not knowledge. It starts there. It starts with the heart. At any moment, we can just step back from everything and say, I'm so tired of it just being a teaching. I can't. Today is the day to hear what the Spirit's saying to me and not harden my heart and just walk in a normal way. Today I want to break open I just want to break open the doors of my mind and the jar of my heart. And I want to say, I want to know you in a way that's beyond knowledge. I want to be filled. I won't be satisfied until your life possesses me and I've possessed you and I am, draw me and I will run, but I'm running to you. I'm seeking you while you may be found. With all my heart, I'm knocking, I'm crying. There's passion, there's longing, there's pursuit, there's desire. There's a scripture that says, awake to righteousness. And my heart can go, oh, that just means legally I need to be a good person. Wake up and act better. But if righteousness is a person who lives in me by like a bundle of myrrh filling the chambers of my being with another spirit that brings a fragrance of life unto life and death unto death and testifies in essence and being who God is and his people. Awake to righteousness. I forgot it was a person. I forgot that person is fragrant, like ointment poured forth. The virgins love thee. Your love is better than wine. Draws and we will run. I thought righteousness was an Old Testament legalistic law that I'm supposed to do. That was crucified, buried, and put away in the body of Jesus so he could have a brand new body to live in, to be the righteousness of, in savor, in spirit, in nature, in being, in mind, in heart, in purpose towards the Father, in love towards others. A person that can fill us with all the fullness of God. Lord, I think I fell asleep. I want to wake in your image. I want to arise and shine. Arise. What does it say in Isaiah 60? Awake, awake, O Zion. Shake off thy dust and sit down. Put on your beautiful garments. Shake off the dust. Arise and sit down. But before it says shake off the dust, arise and sit down to Zion, it says, wake up, awake, 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 O Zion. Shake off the dust, arise and sit down. Put on your beautiful garments. Break those bands off yourself, O captive one. Wake up, arise. Come away, my love, he says in chapter 2. Come away, my love. Rise up, come unto me. Awake, awake, awake to who you are in me, which is not a doctrine. Just not a doctrine. It's not a doctrine. It's a relationship. It's a person. It's a person who fills us, who we bring forth the fruit of him. We bring forth his fruit. You know, we can call it fruit of the Spirit, and we have a little cute, you know, this and that. But Where's the preciousness and the holiness and the tenderness and the wonder of, I'm bringing forth his fruit. Give me some time to abide. Give me time to become a fruitful branch of him who is my righteousness, who is my sanctification, who is my wisdom, who is my redemption, who is my life. Give me time to graft in, to draw out, you know, to possess, draw out from him into me the sap of his being. They who receive abundance of grace, they who receive abundance of grace shall reign in life by one. He is the vine, we are his branches. By him we bring forth fruit. And of my fullness have you all received, and that grace for grace. He's just wanting to fill us. He's wanting everything that comes out of us to be the fruit of him in us. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? That God Almighty would say, I want everything you do to be the fruit of me in you. I want everything you do to be the fruit of me in you. And I used to think you were an angry God that put me under laws. I want everything you do to be the fruit of me in you. I want everything to come from my life in you. That's how deeply I feel about it. I thought you felt that deeply about my sin. I feel that deeply about love. I thought you hated sin and so you just wanted me to be good. I love you so I became sin so I could live in you. Wait, you're the angry God. I put all that anger on my son so that he could have you in oneness as his home. This doesn't make any sense to the way I was taught you. I thought you were mad. I thought I needed to do better. I thought I needed to try to bring forth better attitudes because you demanded holiness and goodness and all these things that I should do to be a good Christian that you love. I don't want anything. I want my son in you. I want to live in you. I want to be what brings forth the fruit in you. I want the fruit to be my son in you. I want it to all be swallowed up of acceptance in the beloved. To the praise of the glory of God's grace. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. That we are accepted in the beloved. And he just took us in through the cross. He became sin. He crucified the old nature. He put away the old man. And he gave us entrance in to his fullness that we might know him beyond knowledge from the inside out, from the inside out. Well, that sounds more like love to me, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that excels the law, that exceeds the law, that fulfills the law, that fills full the law, that does what the law asks that we could never do, but Christ in us always will do by a spirit that is beauty incarnate, the person, the joy of man's desiring. No words can describe the beauty of the Lord. No words can describe the beauty of Jesus in us. The beauty of the Lord. The righteous branch of the Father, the root and the fullness, the morning star. Who could ever even imagine? But he sent the Holy Spirit so that we would know that he is in us and we are in him. John 16, I think, or 14 says, in that day you will know when I send my Spirit after I die that I am in you, you are in me. And we are in the Father. Fear not, fear not. Perfect love casts that fear out. I have loved you with a perfect love on the cross so that we could proceed in the way Song of Songs is speaking of. With a song in our heart. He's singing. We start singing. love songs, songs that emanate from being filled with another life. I mean, you know, one of the biggest, if not the biggest form of music is love songs. I think if there was ever a song, it'd be a love song. If there was just one kind of song, that we could only have one kind of song. And they'd say, you can't write any other kinds of songs. There's only one kind of song that gets to be written by decree. I think everyone would say, well, it's got to be love songs, because they're love is what really makes you sing. I mean, there's funeral dirges and there's pro-self crazy. But love songs, they're the ones that get you right here, you know. Love songs. Songs about not being alone, about someone who gets you, gave himself for you, endures all things, bears all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Love never fails. You know, you can have this big prophetic worship, yes. Mystery solved, maybe. But when you encounter the Lamb of God and the way that he loves by giving himself unto death, now there's a love song like we've never heard before. There's a love song like we couldn't even dream of. Human love doesn't even come close. This is the love wherewith we have been loved and are loved by God himself through the person of his Son, who is a selfless, slaughtered lamb that gave his life for us while we were yet enemies, and now he wants to live in us, and he wants to fulfill everything he asks us to do from the inside of us, and he wants to make his home in us, and he died so he could do that. And oh my goodness, don't you just want to know him beyond knowledge and be full? I mean, if he died for it, I'm willing to at least wake myself up, shake myself from the dust, rise up and seek his face. You know, he said to David, seek my face. And David said, what? Thy face, O Lord, will I seek. I'm coming. Rise up, my love. Seek my face. I will. I want to look right in your eyes. I want to know you in your heart, in your face, in your being, in your depths, in your inward parts, in the you of you, God, the you of you. I want to know you. One thing have I desired, and that is you, and that will I seek after. I'm coming, Lord, I'm coming. But the vineyard keepers, her mother's sons, whomever these people were, they were trying to draw her away from that pursuit. And they were pointing out, you know, there's things that are terrible and we got to fix them. And that's true. But let me tell you, the fruit of what they have, the abundance of life that is going to course over the walls of that garden and fragrance that are going to flow out of that garden as rivers of living water, that are going to come out as fruit for, oh my goodness. It's like that song that says, and I don't think the whole world could be full of the joy, that our joy just, it fill, that it's like, how could the earth not be filled with this? It's so beautiful. It's so God in us that it just comes out and fills. It just fills. His life fills, not just us, but it fills. It does what we could never do because it's him, but it's him in us. So yeah, I want to give myself. I want to be his. I want to let the rivers and the fountains and the gardens bring forth after his kind by his life in me. But I must seek him right now. I must abide. But I can't just abide in the doctrine, or there'll never be him filling me. It'll just be me getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and more puffed up with knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, doesn't it? But love edifies, gives itself. So I have to abide. And that's what happens in these next verses. She abides in the most beautiful, living, wonderful ways. Let's just look at a few of them. It's just so heart-melting that these are for us. Verse 12 of chapter 1 says, while the king is at his table. That's in her heart, the tables of her heart. My spikenard sends forth its fragrance. A bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me that lies all night in my heart. My beloved is unto me a cluster of henna blooms in the vineyards of Enjedi. Is she knowing, is she laying on her bed memorizing scriptures? Is she just thinking about deeper life philosophies and how it all works? She's saying, a bundle of myrrh is my beloved. He's in my heart. He's fragrant. A cluster of henna blooms in the vineyards of Enjedi. I mean, these are some amazing ways of describing abiding. I mean, what a form of abiding is this? It's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful that the Holy Spirit would bring us into know Him in a way that isn't just doctrine, but in His person. And behold, you are fair, my love. You are fair. You have dove's eyes. He's saying you have eyes that are opened by the Holy Spirit to see beyond the teaching, to hear beyond the words, to press beyond the doctrine into me. You couldn't even say those things unless the dove, the Holy Spirit, had awakened you, had opened your eyes to know me beyond just the teaching. And isn't it wonderful that everybody receives that Holy Spirit after they're born again, and we can ask to be filled up with the Holy Spirit, which is a person, the third person of the Godhead, and He comes inside of us and fills us up, the Holy Spirit does, to reveal, to show us the Jesus who is our life, who is in us, in the way He wants us to know Him, not like a teaching, but like a life. A person. It's a person who is in us. Jesus is a person. He's the Son of the Father. He's a person. He's our life. He's the Lamb of God. And the Holy Spirit is a person sent from the Father. He's called the dove to teach us in ways that are beyond just teaching, that we can really see Him and know Him, and He can be filling us and formed and grow and be who He is in us, in all His beauty, in His lamb nature, in His fragrant life. Oh my, now we're so far away from the kingdom of doctrines and religions, aren't we? We're somewhere else. We're swallowed up of Him. We're in another place now. Who wants to live in Him instead of just the teaching of in Him? The scriptures say, in Him we live and move and have our being. Well, I'll tell you, how can I do that if my life is so boring, or I have so many things occupying my attention, school and my job and my family and all these problems? Listen, if you know Him like a bundle of myrrh and a cluster of henna blossoms and a spirit of life, He's going to permeate everything. You're going to be in the Spirit. You're going to be walking in the Spirit. You're going to be talking in the Spirit. You're going to be filled full. And it's not going to be a teaching you've got to always be thinking about and quoting and trying to, how does that go? I can't remember it. Oh, I got to figure that out. What was that about? You're going to be full and overflowing with a life that just, ooh, it comes out here. It comes, you know, it's just your Spirit. It's His Spirit. You're walking by His Spirit, filled with His Spirit. His life is living. He's always there because He's filling you, because you're His, and you're His, and He's in you. And He's life, not teaching. Life lives. Life lives. Christ is our life. She's getting life right now. And she's pressing into life. And she will be fruitful, but now she's abiding. Verse 16, well, let's go down to chapter 2, verse 3. Like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight. His fruit was sweet to my taste. Verse 4, he brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me was love. Sustained me with cakes of raisins, refreshed me with apples. I am lovesick. His left hand is under my head. His right hand embraces me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir or awaken love until it pleases. So she's in a God-ordained season of abiding. And this abiding is in the form of wonderful intimacy, of partaking of His Spirit, of knowing Him beyond knowledge, of spending time in the power of the Holy Spirit to really see who he is in a way that is more like communion than teaching. And it's a season that is filling her cup. Amen. And that season does end in verse 8 of chapter 2. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes. Well, this is different than tables and embraces and fragrant henna blossoms. Leaping on mountains, skipping on hills. He's a young stag, a gazelle. Okay, all of a sudden, guess what happened here? Does anybody know what's happened between verse 7 and verse 8 of chapter 2? Something wonderful, something amazing, not a miracle, but a season of life. He's starting to live. In other words, she's really been abiding, hasn't she? I mean, the proof that she wasn't just faking it, or it wasn't just emotions, or, you know what I'm saying, just I'm abiding but not really, that it was real communion, it was real abiding. She was really partaking of him, pressing and knowing him in the power of the Spirit. He was growing in her, being formed in her. All of a sudden, what does he want to do when he gets to that point? He wants to live. What are the words that are used there about how he wants to live?
Leaping
on mountains. Did you just say leaping on mountains? And what is the form he's taking?
A gazelle.
He's showing up like a gazelle leaping on mountains. Okay, so we're used to what? Cuddle time under the apple tree. Was it God to have cuddle time under the apple tree?
Yes.
Sure enough was. That's the word of God. Amen. Was it amazing to know him in the fragrance of his essence by the Spirit unveiling the Lamb in his nature? Hallelujah. And woohoo. What happens after enough of that starts filling your chambers? A gazelle starts leaping. How many people have ever felt a gazelle of Jesus inside of you wanting to leap on the mountains? I feel it right now in my gazelle leaping. But she goes, hey, my beloved is a gazelle, is a young stag. And I always hear that verse read like this: my beloved is a gazelle, is a young stag. And she's like, she's still doing the, she's in that abiding lovey-dovey. But I think it would be more like this. I don't know. God help me. This is Holy Scripture. This is just my not even counted as worthy opinion. But I hear it like, my beloved? Because, her beloved, she's been talking a lot about up to this point, is a gazelle? A young stag? A young stag. They got a lot of energy, those young stags. Right? And he's standing behind our wall. And he's looking through the window, and he's gazing through the lattice. This is awkward. It's very awkward. I'm used to just snuggling under the apple tree. Now he's this crazy young stag gazelle with all this energy and life. What have we created in the abiding season? He got bigger than we realized. I guess this thing is real. Jesus actually does form in us. It's not a doctrine. Oh, my Lord. It's kind of like someone 9 months pregnant, and she's like, honey, it's not a doctrine. We're fixing to have a kid. Okay. We're not going to have a big doctrine. There's going to be a little life with a lot of energy running around the house all the time. Yeah. It's called a season change. Fruit. A season change. It comes after abiding. In the order of life, right? It does, So she's just shocked. She's like, what? Oh, I'm used to rules. I'm used to lovey-dovey. I'm used to Holy Spirit, but I'm not used to wild stags and leaping gazelles. But something's happening. Something's changing. And he's peeking through my window. I guess I have a wall. I can't imagine that I created a wall when I had such wonderful intimacy at the king's table, in the king's chambers, under the king's tree, in the king's arms. Where did this wall come from? I mean, we were together. There was no walls. But there was somehow, there's a wall. Somehow she has allowed a wall to be built, and that's, I don't think there's condemnation there, it's just it is what it is. She's got a wall she didn't realize was up. He's having to peek through it. And what does he say? Rise up. Awake. My fair one, come away. Hey, the winter's past, the rain's over and gone. Guess what? Flowers are appearing on your earth. The time of singing, it's here. The voice of the turtle dove is in our land. The fig tree is putting forth green figs. The vines have tender grapes. They're giving a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair. Okay, he's excited. What is he wanting from her? That would be a good, he says it, what he wants from her. Rise up. Rise up to where? What is he doing? He's leaping. He's gazelling. He's mountaining, mountaineering it. In the spirit of life. Spirit of life is leaping. Come, my fair one, come away. You are, he says, oh, isn't it beautiful in 14, verse 14? He goes, hey, my dove, you are in the clefts of the rock. You are in the secret places. You're in me. Yes, no doubt about it. You're in me. Hey, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet. Your face is lovely. He's wanting to be with her from that place of being in her, in him, him in her, that place where Christ is our life. But she's not understanding how to stay in that place of inness, of withness, of oneness, of himness, of lifeness in the new season of leaping and living. And fruiting and singing and bird singing and life living and winter's overing and amen. And catches these foxes, the little foxes that what? Spoil the vine. Our vines have tender grapes. Her answer to this desperate plea, he's saying, I want us to be together in this new season. Look at, I'm like a gazelle leaping, but I'm having to peek through a window. I'm asking you to come away. You're not really with me where I'm at in this new season, but you're in me. It's real, but let's do this. There's these little foxes. They're going to try to eat up this tender vine that is actually bringing forth real life, but you've got to be with me in it, or the foxes are going to come and take it away from us, and we want to let that new life grow and live, and come on, come on. And she's like, what do you say, honey? And she's like, my beloved is mine and I am his. He feeds his flocks among the lilies until the day break and the shadows all flee away. Turn, turn, my beloved. Be like a gazelle, a young stag. You go leap on the mountains. That was the most sweetest rejection of his advance you could ever find. He had to probably go, did she just say no? I think she just said no. She just said no in the nicest, most spiritual way, but that was a definite no, I ain't going. It was, in my opinion, it was no way. You do that part. I have found a very comfortable, enjoyable realm here. My life is good behind my walls. I like this feel, and leaping with a gazelle on mountains terrifies me. It terrified her. So what happens? My night on my bed. Well, we'll go there later. But he goes, and she's laying in her bed alone, realizing, oops, I wish I was with him. But let's look at her refusal in verse 17 and listen. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, you be like a gazelle and a young stag upon the mountains of. So she's saying, I'm not ready. No, part of it is like, I'm not ready. There's still shadows. There's not, everything's not formed. I don't, you know, Christ isn't, I don't know. I need to know more. I need to have more, you know. And he's saying, I'm ready. I know when I'm ready to, I'm ready. Here I am ready. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's be. Let's be. And oh, I need, you know. It doesn't matter where we're at. It's where he is at. It doesn't matter how we feel about ourselves, if all the shadows haven't gone away, if we don't feel His life. What is the Spirit saying? What is He saying? What is He doing? What is the life doing? Right now He's a gazelle. He sees tender grapes. He feels new life. A season is changing. And it's not the season of the vineyard keepers in Ecclesiastes. It's the season of life. And life wants to do the living. He never asked her to be a gazelle and do the leaping. He said, come with me. I want to leave. I want to live. I want to be. I'll make your feet like hinds' feet, but I'm the hind within you. You'll walk it, I'll live it in you. And we'll be as one. In fact, later on, I'll call you a chariot of Aminadab, which means the people of a willing heart. You'll carry me with this heart that just wants to go. Let's go. Let's go. But right now she's like, no, no, no. What does he do? He draws her by love. We'll look at it later. He says, you know, you don't want to be without me in your dark room of dead doctrines, where secretly you know I'm not right now. You want to be with me where I'm at because you love me. I know you do. He draws her. He draws her and she comes. And because of that, there's 5 more chapters of this wonderful love story. It certainly isn't over at the end of chapter 2 or the beginning of chapter 3. I mean, my, my, my. Many waters cannot quench love, even our old soul and comfort zones. Because love wins. Love is stronger. He loves us, we love Him, and we fall asleep on our beds at night and miss opportunities. But He comes back a knocking, or He removes His presence and draws us, or He does what He does because we are His. And He is a good Lord and Shepherd and Husband and Life and Son of the Father. And oh, how beautiful to see in the Word of God the seasons of love as it grows. You know, the seasons of love as it grows in a relationship. And we may measure ourselves by how much ministry we're doing, or all of our shadows fleet away, but we should really measure ourselves by Him, just by Him. Just by He is. We are complete in Him. We are accepted in Him. We are raised together, seated together. In Him, He is our righteousness. He is our life. He is our standing before the God. Him, 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 Him. And just fall in love. Know beyond knowledge. Be filled up with His fullness. Let the fruit come from another life. Let Him leap and live through you. Let life come in its season. And when we say no, and trust the goodness of the Lord to soften our heart because we miss Him. And we don't want to live without Him. And we hate religion and we love the Lamb. And our dark room is really cold and empty. But even leaping on the mountains is better than being without Him, even if we're afraid of heights, right? We may be afraid of heights, but I'd rather be leaping with my gazelle than in my safe room without Him. Amen. So, Lord, we just say thank You for amazing, vital, heart-racing, living God, Spirit speaking every day, real, real person, not religion, real relationships based on the cross, which is not just a doctrine, but a thing that came out of your being and was established in your person, was poured out through your blood and was settled in the heavens of your heart. Thank You for the seasons that come and go. But You are always the fullness of every season. You are the season. You are in all of Your glory, in resurrection, in suffering, in death, in abiding, in giving, in pouring, in receiving, in all places and states. We are content, for we have You. What more could we want? But without You, we're nothing. Without love, it is nothing. We just want You, Lord. We just desire and long and pant and seek and press in until we know You beyond knowledge in all Your fullness. Till it is not I but Christ who liveth in me. All glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, Lord. For those who are watching tonight, maybe an afternoon, maybe a morning, and they feel that God wants more than just to have them be good, but to fill them up with another life, with the life of Jesus, and to live through them and to be in them what they could never be. Lord, let them just open their heart. Say, yes, Lord, you died on the cross to put away that old creation, to crucify who I used to be so I could be made new in you, and your life could be my new life, and you will live through me, and I will know you from the inside out as my life. And the Holy Spirit will show me who Jesus is in me in ways that not even words could ever define, but the Spirit will show us. Thank you for the scriptures that you move upon to reveal Jesus in us. Thank you for giving us your word and your heart. We love you, Lord. Be glorified in us. We just want to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you all for fellowshipping and loving Jesus and chasing after him together with our wonderful, crazy abandonment to him. We'll see y'all next time. Bye.